Brooke. Are you having trouble reading, seeing road signs, watching TV? Don't worry, we can help. Call us today and schedule an eye exam. We now have two optometrists to meet your eye care needs. Dr. Larry Rogers and Dr. Greg Nelson are here to help you see the things you've been missing. Comprehensive eye exams, top-of-the-line materials, and excellent customer care. That's what we do. Call us today at 272-2115 or stop by 306 Coliseum Boulevard. Make seeing clear great again. Your eyes will thank you for it.
I try and I try and I just can't lose weight.
I've even tried workouts. I get nowhere except tired and depressed.
You need Dr. Summers Weight Loss Clinic. It's a medical weight loss clinic using medical science, not fad diets, to help you lose weight, keep it off, and stay healthy.
I need someone to help me through. This is a major deal for me.
Dr. Summers' solutions are determined by each patient's medical needs, weight loss goals, and other individual requirements. It's a personal program.
I need to feel better. Not always worn out, hungry, and tired.
You'll get one-on-one nutritional and exercise counseling. Dr. Summers also provides prescription appetite suppressants, B6 and B12 lipotropic injections, and most importantly, support to help you stay with your weight loss program.
I think I need Dr. Summers Weight Loss Clinic.
Yeah, we both need Dr. Summers.
Stop doing what doesn't work. Call the Weight Clinic in Prattville at 334-358-9262 or summersweightclinic.com. Dr. Summers Weight Loss Clinic.
I'd love a last-minute getaway, but what about the pups?
How about Southpaw's Dog Plantation? They're just outside of Montgomery, a mile off 331. It's a 32-acre site where they can run and play all day in securely fenced pastures and rest at night in a renovated horse barn complete with air conditioning and insulation. Call them, honey. They're open 24-7, 334-324-8769.
The alternative to traditional boarding. Southpaw's Dog Plantation. 334-324-8769. Online at southpawsdogplantation.com.
Hey guys, honey season is upon us. And here at Wholesale Hunter, we know between kids at school and honeydews, your schedule's pretty packed. So why waste your time driving to one of those big box stores when you can visit us online at wholesalehunter.com and order the gear and supplies you need with a click of a button. You can shop our huge selection of guns and hunting gear from the convenience of your computer or phone. Stop by our store in Wetumpka at the corner of Highway 14 and Fire Tower Road, or visit us online anytime at wholesalehunter.com, wholesalehunter.com, that's wholesalehunter.com.
Trust is the firm belief in reliability, truth, and strength. For years, Southern Bell's cleaning service has been earning the trust of families in the River Region. Callan and her crew believe in cleaning the old-fashioned way. Southern Bell's brings all their own supplies, arrives on time, and specializes in full-service residential, commercial, vacant properties, and construction cleanup. Estimates are always free. Call Southern Bell's today at 546-0715 or follow them on Facebook at Southern Bell's Cleaning River Region.
Let Metro Fitness help you earn cash. Metro Fitness has a membership drive going on now through December 31st. Join Metro and bring in one new member that joins for a year and receive $100 in cash. Yes, you heard me correctly. A year too long? Sign up for 3 months and bring a friend to join for 3 months and you receive $50. No limit to how many people you can bring in. Only at Metro Fitness, metrofitness.com.
The biggest threat to law enforcement isn't criminals. It's drivers who fail to move over. If you see flashing lights on the roadside, safely move over. Drive safe, Alabama. Sponsored by ALDOT, ALEA, the Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Good news for the weekend. We're enjoying a brief break in between storm systems, and it's perfect timing. Tonight, partly cloudy, chilly, overnight low 41. Tomorrow should be a nice day. Mostly sunny, warmer, high in the upper 60s. That storm system on Monday needs to be watched, and we're keeping a close eye on it. Showers and thunderstorms developing, especially by Monday afternoon, Monday night. Some of the storms could possibly be severe. All modes of severe weather are possible. Stay on top of the action with our free weather app. Get it on your phone or tablet now. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather from the Blue Water Weather Center. This is Rich Thomas.
The views and opinions expressed on Clearing the Air are solely those of Terry Adams and other contributors. These views and opinions do not necessarily represent those of Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, its staff, or any advertisers.
Hey, welcome back to the program. I'm going to continue with this. Hitler's escape to Argentina. Remember, this guy's not a, quote, conspiracy theorist. He isn't, he's not somebody that's out looking for the story. He's worked it, well, he told his resume beforehand, but just listen.
So tell us about this story. This is incredible. This is like the Ark of the Covenant or Who Killed Kennedy. This is big in historical terms. How did this come about? And this is about Hitler escaping from the bunker to Argentina. A lot of people are going to look at this, Gerard, and think, whoa, this is a conspiracy theory.
That's exactly how I looked at it when we started doing this. We were in, my crew and I were in Argentina doing a series of documentaries on the Children of the Disappeared, a story that's come up recently with both of the two members of dictatorship being jailed again for stealing children during the dirty war in Argentina. We were doing pieces on the economic collapse. We're doing the 25th anniversary of the Falklands conflict, or the Falklands-Malvinas conflict, to give it its proper name. And I came across this story that Adolf Hitler had escaped by submarine to Argentina. And I thought, I've never done a conspiracy theory film. I've never done a really stupid film. And after years and years and years of doing hard news, international events, death, famine all across the world, I thought that it might be a fun, interesting, lightweight subject to do, and I'd never thought about doing one before. So we started to look at it, and we started to look at the information that's available in Argentina. Various books have been written there, which don't appear elsewhere. They haven't been published overseas. There's a lot of information about the Nazis' penetration of Argentina from 1943 onwards. Again, most of this is in the Spanish language and hasn't been translated and brought overseas. And we came back to the UK, and I started to work with my military historian friend Simon Dunstan, and we started to look at it, and it was still going to be a conspiracy theory story. 14 trips later to Argentina, and trips to Berlin, and trips to America, and a lot of time in study at the Kew archives, and an amazing amount of reading and looking back at the contemporaneous reporting of what happened at the time, at the end of April 1945. Began to gradually come to light that the story we'd been told about Hitler killing himself in the bunker was simply a story. There was no forensic evidence to Hitler's end in the bunker. In fact, the forensic evidence that's been lauded for the last 60 years that the Russians have parts of his skull and his jawbone, well, the skull's been DNA tested. It's that of a woman. And it's a woman much older than Eva Braun, so it can't even be her skull. When you started to put it all together, and with the eyewitnesses that we found to Hitler's presence in Argentina post-war, and since we wrote Grey Wolf, we've actually got more people coming out of the woodwork telling us stories about Hitler's presence in Argentina post-war, it became obvious that this wasn't any sort of conspiracy theory. We'd stopped laughing about it. And in fact, you know, I think we were in shock for a while that the idea that everything we had been told by these eminent historians, this story that had been propagated and told again so that it became the rock-solid historical truth was actually rubbish. We have interviews from the time with the pilot who flew them out. We have material from the Russians when they first arrived at the bunker. They were handed six body doubles of Hitler, none of whom was Adolf Hitler. We have BBC reports from arriving at the bunker where Thomas Cadet, the Paris bureau chief pre-war, was embedded with Soviet forces when he arrived. Cadet said they found no body that could have been Hitler's. As we started to progress along it, there are places in Grey Wolf where we can't find exactly what happened in the timeline. But you find something that happened, and then along the timeline, you find the presence of Hitler in Argentina. And this isn't like Elvis sightings. None of these people have been paid any money to tell their stories to us. In fact, a number of them have actually had death threats from people or persons unknown in Argentina since they told us their story. I'm amazed that people haven't actually looked at all the evidence that we have presented in Grey Wolf, because we don't make things up. This is material that is actually reported by proper correspondents of the time, AP reporters, Reuters reporters, United Press International reporters, BBC correspondents. Stalin and Marshal Zhukov thought he'd escaped. Stalin said he'd gone to Spain or Argentina. Zhukov said he could have flown out at the last moment. There was an airfield and planes at his disposal. Well, we found that pilot. He was on trial in Warsaw in 1947 for being a member of the SS. He was brought to trial, asked who he was, and he explained who he was, Captain Peter Baumgart, and he told the trial that he had been the man who'd flown Hitler out of the Hohenzollern Dam, which is a big boulevard in Berlin, on the 30th of April 1945 and flown them into Tonda in Denmark, the former Imperial Zeppelin base in Denmark. Well, the judges in Warsaw thought he was mad, so they sent him away for psychiatric testing. Well, 6 months later, Captain Peter Baumgart was brought back, certified by three senior psychiatrists in Poland as being completely sane, and he gave the same story with more detail of exactly what had happened. Baumgart was in prison until 51 for being a member of the SS in Poland, and then he disappears. We have no more information about what happened to Baumgart afterwards. It's not just Baumgart, though. There are other witnesses to the escape from Berlin. There are all the people who'd spoke to Hitler in the bunker, who was afterwards interrogated by American and British forces. For instance, the senior Japanese diplomat, senior military diplomat, Japanese, in Berlin at the fall, who was interrogated in Tokyo later. He said he saw Hitler on the 27th, 28th, and Hitler had no suggestion that he was going to commit suicide, and he told him he was going to flee south. Well, flee south may have meant to Berchtesgaden. Flee south could have meant to Argentina. But there are so many people that he said he would escape and flee south to. I think one of the most telling things for us was that we found that the last pictures of Adolf Hitler, supposedly, of him on March the 20th, not on April the 20th, but on March the 20th, handing out medals to Hitler youth who had been responsible for tank destroying in the Battle for Berlin, with Arthur Axmann, the Hitler Youth leader. Those pictures are not of Adolf Hitler. We've had them checked against pictures that we know from the Reich Archive that are of Adolf Hitler. And it isn't Hitler, it's Hitler's double.
Why Argentina? Of all the countries on the planet at that time in history, after the fall of Berlin, why Argentina? What's the significance of this country in terms of its relationship with Germany, Nazi Germany?
After the First World War, the Treaty of Versailles in 1918, Germany was pretty much stripped of all its colonial possessions around the world. So Tanganyika, German East Africa, Namibia, German Southwest Africa. The one thing they couldn't take away from Germany was the huge German colonies that had been established in Patagonia, both in Chilean Patagonia and in Argentine Patagonia, because they were in sovereign states. They weren't German colonies. They were large communities within Argentina and within Chile. Those communities grew enormously between the wars from 1918 until 1939. Argentina was the only country in the world which had its own Nazi party. There were 30,000 members of the Argentine Nazi Party who wore a swastika with a cogged wheel around it, who met in Luna Park, one of the big venues in Buenos Aires, in the late 30s to celebrate the Anschluss between Austria and Germany. And if you look at the pictures that were shot by the Americans at the time, it looks like a Nuremberg rally. Argentina had a large German pro-Nazi community embedded within it. We also know from very brave Argentine politicians at the time that Eva Perón, Eva Duarte as she was, and Juan Domingo Perón, who became the two most important people in Argentina post-war, were both in the pay of German military intelligence since 1941. We have the documents that prove this, which were found in Berlin post-war, by this group of Argentine Democrats who had been fighting against what was a fascist dictatorship in Argentina. From 1943 onwards, billions were pumped into Argentina from Nazi Germany to establish this, I don't know what they were hoping for, a Fourth Reich in the sun or something. But it's interesting to know that when people think about Latin America, they think about jungles and the Mato Grosso and, you know, the Amazon, and it's not like that. Buenos Aires, for instance, is a very sophisticated European city, and much of Argentina is a lot like Europe. If you go down to San Carlos de Bariloche, which is where many of the Nazis went post-war, you have a place that looks like Bavaria, and not only looks like Bavaria, but German is a second spoken language for almost everybody there.
And it's break time again, 3 minutes. I hope you're enjoying this. This is fascinating.
Alabama is a state deeply rooted in military tradition. And we at Alabama Home Mortgage appreciate the sacrifices that our men and women in uniform make each and every day. I'm Kim Williams, and I'm here to tell you there is a difference in mortgage companies. Don't be fooled by mortgage companies with veteran in their name. Call the mortgage company with veterans in their blood. The entire Alabama Home Mortgage staff are children of military veterans. We understand what it means
to serve. If you're looking for a VA loan, call Alabama Home Mortgage 567-4223. With a VA loan, there's no money out of pocket, 100% financing. There's simply nothing better than a VA mortgage loan. Ella, tell them what to do.
Call my mom, Kim Williams, at 567-4223. That's 567-4223.
That's right. Or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to get your VA home loan today. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, Bob, I'm looking for a pharmacy, and I was wondering which one you and Pam use.
We've used Adams Drugs for years. You know, I take a lot of medications for my diabetes, so I needed someone that could partner with me in keeping everything under control.
I understand. I'm on a lot as well, and I can't always see my doctor when I have questions.
My Adams Drugs pharmacist answers all my questions, and they take the time to make sure I understand. I trust them completely.
Sounds like I need to call Adams Drugs. Do you have their number?
The best thing is to check their website at adamsdrugs.net. That way you can check which of the 12 locations is nearest you and give them a call.
I did see that Adams is now a Health Mart pharmacy. Were they bought out?
No, Health Mart is their national buying group that allows Adams to purchase at a much lower price. Nothing has changed. Adams Drugs has served the River Region for 56 years, and believe me, that will not change.
Adams Drugs, your locally owned Health Mart pharmacy, is offering even better over-the-counter pricing and high-quality products as well. Give us a call and see how we can be your healthcare partner. Visit us at adamsdrugs.net for the location nearest you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. Montgomery area helpwanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. Montgomery area helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Hi, this is Carl Schmidt, naturopath and owner of the Herb Shop. Listen every Saturday to Winning Wellness and learn from experts in different fields of science and technology how nutritional supplements can help you.
Listen to Winning Wellness at its new time every Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, y'all, we're listening to Hitler's Escape to Argentina. This is not a conspiracy theorist. This guy's a producer, been one since he was 19, been to the different war-torn nations. And he was in Venezuela doing something on the disappearance of some of the children, and he kept hearing rumors, and he started talking to people. So he decided to write a book called Gray Wolf, Hitler's Escape to Argentina. We'll continue.
Now, also, the area of Bariloche, some very wealthy Nazis from Europe own large tracts of land down there, including, I'm told, Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands.
Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands' family has been in that area since, I don't know, the 1890s, the Schambuglieper family. It was their family, his cousins, who were the senior Nazi diplomats in Chile. And Bariloche, the whole area of San Carlos, is just across the border from Chile, in the Andes, along that range. The Estancia San Ramon, which is tens of thousands of hectares, it's huge, is the place where Hitler first went to. It was his first point of refuge in Argentina after he'd arrived on the coast. It's deep inland in an area that had been Germanic for, well, since the 1870s, 1880s. Prince Bernhard's family still own large tracts. Prince Bernhard's family, as in the Dutch royal family, still own large tracts of land themselves in Bariloche, never mind their cousins, the Schamburglippers, who have since sold the San Ramon Estancia. But it's not just them. It was the various Gauleiters came out post-war. Lanchner was one of them. He had a huge construction business around Bariloche. Erich Priebke, the SS captain, who is now still under house arrest in Italy for his part in the Ardentine Caves massacre, where 340-ish Italian civilians were killed because of an attack on an SS convoy. There are Nazi after Nazi after Nazi who fled to Argentina post-war. Originally, we said about 30,000. That was our estimate. As we move further ahead with our research, and we're writing a second book, we're writing a sequel to Grey Wolf at the moment, which we hope will be published next year, it looks like up to 100,000. And this is almost an unbelievable number. Nazis of different forms. They could have been SS Ukrainians, they could have been Belgians, French, Dutch. We have to remember Danish. We have to remember that there were so many others who were actually fighting alongside the Nazis, the Germans in World War II. But they were allowed to flee, and they fled with the help of the International Committee of the Red Cross and the anti-Semitic Jewish haters that were its head, and with the help of Pius XII and the whole organization within the Catholic Church and the Vatican. This is something people don't want to hear of. People don't want to hear that the Catholic Church allowed almost 100,000 of the worst people that Europe has ever produced. Not just allowed, but helped. They helped them down through a whole range of monasteries and safe houses into Vatican City, where they were given documents to enable them to travel, originally to Argentina and then on to South America in further countries.
No, who would believe this, honestly? Before I read your book, it's shocking. You guys must have had your eyes open completely when you saw this and thought, wow.
I think shocking is the right word, but the information is there. The documents are there in all the archives. This isn't made up. This is a representation of material that was there at the time.
When we return, we find out yet another disturbing truth.
The American government gave them millions of dollars to say sorry that we bombed your Nazi war material producing factories.
Yes, that's true. And I'll tell you something else. Your mics are on, guys, by the way. Right. Prince Bernhard, that helped the Nazis, guess who he is? He is the man who started the Bilderberger Group. Is it all starting to make sense to you now? The Nazis didn't so much lose World War II. The German people lost World War II. The Nazis survived, and with our help and the help of the Vatican, Roman Catholic Church, relocated. Some of them aren't on this planet. Some of them relocated elsewhere. Right. Some of them relocated to South America, Venezuela. And that's the God's honest truth. All right, let's continue this thing.
That you were making a profit out of.
Martin Bormann arrived in Argentina in 1948. Pablo saw him at Inalco. Jorge Colotto met him in 1955 when Juan Domingo Perón greeted his long-term friend and paid his hotel bill in Buenos Aires. Araceli Mendez worked for him in Buenos Aires and spent almost 3 years rebuffing his advances. She kept pictures of him. The Argentine Federal Police kept a file on Bormann, much of which was burnt in the 1960s, but documents remain, which we have, and prove he and his lover Alicia Magnus stayed at the Plaza Hotel. At least 30,000 Nazis, Ustashi, Croatia's bloodthirsty animals led by Ante Pavelic, and other European fascists fled to South America after the war. They were helped by the Perons, the Catholic Church, the Red Cross, and KLM under Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. Adolf Hitler, the worst and most evil criminal of the 20th century, often used the alias Mr. Wolf. The name Adolf comes from the High German for noble wolf. His first mistress called him Wolf, and it was as Herr Wolf that he was introduced to Eva Braun. Hitler's yacht was called the Sea Wolf, and his personal plane, the Flying Wolf. His field headquarters in East Prussia, the Ukraine, and France all had the word Wolf in the title.
Welcome back. We're here with the author of Grey Wolf, Mr. Gerard Williams. Gerard, the title of the book, Grey Wolf, how does this fit into the story?
Hitler used the pseudonym Mr. Wolf throughout his early political career. I think probably because the name Adolf is based on the old High German for noble wolf. That's where the name gets its derivative from. His headquarters throughout the war were known as the Wolf's Lair, the Wolf's Gorge. His plane was known as the Flying Wolf. Before the war, when he was introduced to Eva Braun for the first time in the photographer's studio where she worked, he was introduced as Mr. Wolf. Wolf was a big part of Adolf Hitler's strange personality. In fact, his sister, Paula Wolf, Paula Hitler, took the name Wolf herself during the war so that she could hide away from any reflected glory or whatever from her elder brother. Grey Wolf was a title which said that this was the wolf going grey, this was the wolf in exile, this was the wolf getting older. Of course, one of the most fearsome weapons of the Nazis during World War II were also the grey wolves, the submarine U-boat packs that ravaged Allied shipping in the Atlantic. And of course, it was one of those grey wolves in the final operation of the U-boats in World War II, which was known as Sea Wolf. That was its code name, that Adolf Hitler escaped via Fuerteventura to the coast of Argentina. So Grey Wolf was something that seemed to be, it's not a code name or anything like that, but it's just the wolf going grey. And that's where the name came from. It stuck. It became Grey Wolf.
Now, you showed me some clips from your documentary film. Fantastic film, by the way.
Thank you.
But one thing that really struck me in this film was it seemed that this one of the central characters, one of the big personalities, was Martin Bormann. So tell us a little about the significance of this man during the war and after.
I think Martin Bormann is one of those characters that for some reason has been sidelined by history. In various films you will see him as an ineffectual secretary. Die Untergang, Downfall, has him not as a central figure at all. He's been described by various intelligence agencies as the most dangerous man in Europe, a title that was occasionally given to Skorzeny, Hitler's favorite commando. But Bormann was the most dangerous man in Europe. Bormann was the complete power behind the Nazi throne. This guy was an economic and administrative genius who, when other more flamboyant figures in that sick regime, Goering or Goebbels or Himmler, were prancing around in their smart uniforms, designed by Hugo Boss most of the time, Goering and Martin Bormann was in the background. But it was Bormann who recognized the financial importance of not just Hitler, but the Nazi Party as a brand from very early on. He licensed Hitler's image, for instance, on every coin or every stamp, and made sure that Hitler got a portion of each sale that was made on that. I mean, it's the first example. We see it all the time now with everybody from David Beckham to Magic Johnson. I'm not comparing either of those two great guys to Adolf Hitler, but marketing a personality, marketing a brand. Martin Bormann knew all about that. Bormann also understood the real financial workings of Nazism. He'd been involved, along with his then boss, Rudolf Hess, in negotiations with American bankers and American industrialists in the 30s to finance the Nazi Party to the tune of, well, today it would be $1 billion. I think it was equivalent to the GDP of the US for 1 year in those days. So we're talking massive investment of capital and skills into Nazi Germany. Bormann isn't seen in history. I mean, there are very few pictures of Martin Bormann. You see him occasionally in group shots. Very few pictures of him. He wasn't somebody who wanted to make his presence widely known. And yet he was secretary of the Chancellery. He was secretary of the Nazi Party. Not a secretary. The secretary of the Nazi Party, the biggest organization in Germany. Bormann also understood how economics and world banking operated. And we believe, and we have the information, I think, presented in Grey Wolf pretty solidly, that from 1943 onwards, he recognized that Nazi Germany was finished in one form or another. Militarily, they were going to get destroyed. This was after the defeat at Al Alamein in the desert by the British, and then Stalingrad happened, and then the Kursk tank battles, and it was pretty obvious that the whole empire was contracting and falling apart. Unless the wonder weapons turned up, if the Nazis had got the atomics first, maybe the world would have been a different place. But from 1943 on, Martin Bormann made a decision that the capital that the German people, the Nazis, had looted and raped from the rest of Europe would be sent overseas, along with the collusion of all the German companies that we know by name today, with all their patents and all their intelligence and all their information. So that no matter what happened to Nazi Germany, that Germany could once again become resurgent after World War II. The capital would go out, and we're talking shipments of gold and bullion, and yes, we're talking shipments of concentration camp gold.
Yeah, he's talking about the gold fillings that they pulled out of the Jewish people's mouths. We got to hit this big break, and finish this we get back.
In your line of work, every day is different. Sometimes you need big, sometimes you need small. But every time you need the best, well, good news. Thompson Tractor has everything you need. It's your go-to source for a complete range of the absolute best equipment, including used machines. Buying used equipment requires a high degree of trust, the kind that Thompson Tractor has been earning since 1957. We sell a large selection of previously owned equipment, all of it tested for durability and optimal performance for years to come. Come browse our yard at 10120 Highway 80 East, Montgomery, Alabama. Or check out the inventory online at thompsontractor.com. Oh, we buy used equipment too. Thompson Tractor. Just like you, we have what it takes.
The Health and Wealth Christmas Blowout just keeps getting bigger and better. Saturday afternoon, December the 21st, from 3 until 6, at Affordable Events, 2754 Bell Road, it's the very first Christmas Blowout from your friends at the Health and Wealth Show. Now, let me see if I can get all this in. Santa Claus is going to be there. Young Elvis, John David with Clay Creations from Five Nights at Freddy's, face painting from Alicia Lynn, and sweet cheeks and treats, demonstrations, and great deals from Tiger Rock Martial Arts. I think I got everything in but the kitchen sink. Oh, there it is. Now mark it on your calendar. Saturday afternoon, December 21st, from 3 until 6, it's the Christmas Blowout. Listen to the Health and Wealth Show from 6 until 7 weekday evenings for more information. Or call 279-7431. Sponsored in part by Earnest Financial, LLC.
Hey, y'all, it's Lewis over at the Capitol Orchard Bar right down here on this beautiful Alabama River. If you hadn't ever been here, we're easy to get to right off of I-65. You take that North Boulevard exit, and then you take the Louisville Street exit at the bottom of the ramp, turn right and turn right and turn right again. That's three times. Follow it to the end of the road, you'll end up down on the river in the Capitol Orchard Bar. Along the way, you'll pass our new RV resort. That's right. We got a campground down here. You can bring your camper and stay a night or a week or a month. We'll just be glad to have you come join us. Now, let's tell you about my schedule here. No live music this Sunday. That's right. So just come on down, eat some good food. We won't start live music again back in the middle of January. So Sunday afternoons will be open to anybody that just wants to come out and eat some good seafood. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we open at 11 o'clock. Saturday and Sunday at 12 noon. So you got all that information. We cook up fresh seafood. We've got a fryer, a steamer, a grill. We can figure it however you like it. Fresh seafood from the Gulf. So get down here soon. Check it all out at CapitalOysterBar.com or Facebook page. Y'all come on down here soon and come hungry. We'll be looking for you.
When you hear people talking about a Krispy Kreme, they're usually referring to the original glazed, made from a recipe dating back to the 1930s. If you haven't had a warm, original glazed donut, you need to try one pronto. Just look for the hot light on at the Krispy Kreme on the Atlanta Highway.
Available now, it's another Bama half-off special. Fat Boys Barbecue Ranch in Prattville has $10 gift certificates for only $5 on BamaHalfOff.com. Locally owned and operated with a hometown family atmosphere, everything at Fat Boys Barbecue Ranch is made from scratch, including their original sauce, award-winning desserts, and their six meats slow-cooked over hickory hardwoods daily. Get your Bama Half Off deal from Fat Boys Barbecue Ranch, available now while they last at BamaHalfOff.com.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com. Montgomery
Hi, everybody. Good news for the weekend. We're enjoying a brief break in between storm systems, and it's perfect timing. Tonight, partly cloudy, chilly, overnight low 41. Tomorrow should be a nice day. Mostly sunny, warmer, high in the upper 60s. That storm system on Monday needs to be watched, and we're keeping a close eye on it. Showers and thunderstorms developing, especially by Monday afternoon, Monday night. Some of the storms could possibly be severe. All modes of severe weather are possible. Stay on top of the action with our free weather app. Get it on your phone or tablet now. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather from the Blue Water Weather Center. This is Rich Thomas.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 3.5% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
Okay, here's what you should know. He mentioned Otto Skorzeny as the most dangerous man. Otto Skorzeny was SS. He was one of Hitler's bodyguards. In the 80s, Scorzini turned over a shoebox full of photos to an American journalist. In that box of photos was a picture taken in a German living room sometime maybe the 30s, but it showed all of your leading Nazis as children. Maybe it was the 20s, I don't know. All of them as children. Then it also showed a young man who was a spitting image of George Herbert Walker Bush as a child. Otto Scorzini said that Bush's real name was Scherf. He was a son of a Nazi. Prescott Bush, we know, was a Nazi sympathizer. According to Scorzini, the plan was to infiltrate America's politics with Nazi children, which Prescott Bush did by bringing George Herbert Walker Bush, or Scherf, over. He was a president of the frickin' United States, folks. He was a Nazi. It's all starting to make sense to you? Then think about, like I said, Prince Bernhard started the Bilderberger Group. What does the Bilderberger Group do? It sets in motion all the plans that they have for the world. They're the ones that set the world's agenda. This is all Nazi. America's not the Fourth Reich. We're just using their playbook because the Nazis are running this. Understand that.
And they do it about six decades in advance.
Oh, yeah. They're way, way, way ahead of us. All right, let's get back into this.
But what we're talking more about here is an international banking system that worked in exactly the same way as the banking system does today. You ask a counterparty in Switzerland to transfer $5 million to your bank account in Argentina, and it is done telegraphically. This doesn't have to be submarines full of gold. It doesn't have to be paintings and art objets and everything else going out. He knew how to telegraphically transfer the wealth of the Third Reich out to Argentina. Not just Argentina, Syria, Turkey, various other neutral countries at the time who were more than willing to accept for a percentage. I think the Swiss got 6% on every transaction. Then the counterparty in Argentina would have probably got 3%. It's exactly the same way that things work today. Bormann knew it was all over, that there was never going to be an opportunity for Nazi Germany to win militarily. But he also knew that he could plan for the influence of Germany in a post-war Europe by moving all this material and wealth, I mean really significant country-buying wealth, out of Germany. And as I say, most of it went to Argentina. Some of it to Brazil as well, Paraguay and Chile, but most of it to Argentina.
I'm going to name you a few companies, and some people are going to find these names very familiar, even in today's industrial world. I've got IBM, ITT, Ford Motors, Chase Manhattan Bank.
Where would you like to start?
Mannesmann Bartelsmann, Siemens, Deutsche Bank. Did Bormann create a myriad of shell companies after the war or during the war?
Well, let's just take one major German company, ThyssenKrupp, the big steel company. From 1943 until the end of the war, they had created over 700 dummy corporations on their own outside of Nazi Germany, within neutral countries. Siemens, which was named as basically an SS international operation by British intelligence in 1940 on. Siemens had offices all over the world. They were all staffed by senior Nazi members, senior party members. Siemens Argentina, for instance, was huge. And you know, was heavily involved in the industrial electrics side of things there. But Siemens effectively had a global operation that was bigger than Western German military intelligence overseas. And they were all loyal to the party. Not to Germany, but to the party. Germany and the party are intermingled, but we have to remember that not every German was a Nazi. Far too many Germans were Nazis, but not every German was a Nazi, and not every German living overseas was a Nazi either. But companies like Siemens had links to all the major American corporations who had invested heavily in Nazi Germany from 1934, 1935 onwards. IBM, for instance, ran the Holocaust. They put in the counting machines that enabled them to process millions of Jews, gypsies, homosexuals, political people through the extermination camps. Now, you know, that was hidden for a very long time, but what has recently come out, nothing to do with our research, but better research, different research in America, shows that IBM actually had IBM employees at Auschwitz, at Buchenwald, at Ravensbrück, who were actually running these damned counting machines on the ground. It was being micromanaged by IBM out of New York. ITT, another great American company, owned 25% of Fokker Wolf, the fighter aircraft manufacturer. So American corporate money was paying to build fighters that were shooting down American boys in American bombers over German cities from 1943 onwards. I mean, I don't understand this. Henry Ford, the Ford Motor Company. It's a cuddly family American tradition. Henry Ford was the worst anti-Semite in history. His writings in the 20s and 30s had a direct influence on Hitler's Mein Kampf. He's a disgusting creature, Henry Ford. Just because he could give you any car you liked in any color you liked, as long as it was black, doesn't make him a good man. The Ford Motor Company produced over a third of all trucks used by the German army in World War II. Trucks that took German soldiers to fight Americans, Canadians, and British troops on the beaches in Normandy.
So let me get this straight. While the war was going on, while U.S. servicemen and British servicemen and Allied forces were fighting the Reich, American money was coming through places like the Union Bank of New York, the Harriman Brothers,
Manhattan,
Two Farben Corporation, and all these other companies like Ford. The same money was at the same time coming in as we're fighting the Germans.
Yeah, and profits are going back. So, you know, everybody's making money out of this. I mean, that's the disgusting thing. The most amazing thing for me is that we'll take just ITT and the Ford Motor Company at the time. And Ford will hide all this. They'll say, no, these were our German subsidiaries. We didn't have anything to do with it. Well, the documentation is coming out, I'm sorry. And we're finally knowing what the truth is. Their plants were also off the bombing lists. We weren't allowed to bomb them during the war, despite the fact they're creating huge amounts of material for the Nazis' war effort. And at the end of World War II, a couple of American bomber groups made a mistake, saw them as targets of opportunity, and bombed both ITT and the Ford Motor Company plants. Well, ITT and Ford Motor Company took the American government to court after the war and got millions of dollars in reparations. The American government gave them millions of dollars to say sorry that we bombed your Nazi war material producing factories that you were making a profit out of. Well, you know, Hitler escaping to Argentina, shocking enough. When you find out that companies that are still around today, not just German companies, who have Hugo Boss, great example, designed all the SS uniforms. There's a Hugo Boss in every street corner of every major city now. Well, I don't know if that's right. I don't know how I feel about that. Do I feel good about a company that made its name and its fortune out of Nazi Germany still being able to make profits today? I don't know. Ask a corporate lawyer. But the same is true about IBM, ITT, Siemens, the Ford Motor Company. The list is virtually endless. It was all about making money. I mean, the sacrifices that my father's generation made, my dad was a combat soldier for 6 years. And was wounded twice. The sacrifices his generation made seemed at the time to be a great crusade, a necessary crusade against the evils of this most pernicious, vicious, fascist system. And yet, at the same time, there were people making a load of money out of it.
Pretty much says it all, doesn't it? There were people making a ton of money. We'll be back after this break.
Sounds like a job for AC by Lou Choir.
It's a year-end comfort closeout sale you don't want to miss. For a limited time, AC by Lou Choir is offering a complete Carrier air conditioning and heating system for just a fraction over cost. As a bonus, all qualified customers can also get 0% financing. Lou Choir is proud to announce we now service Auburn and Opelika for all your heating, cooling, and plumbing needs. Turn to the experts at AC by Lou Choir and Carrier. Visit acbythechoir.com today.
Sounds like a job for AC by Lou Choir.
License number 84417.
Let Metro Fitness help you earn cash. Metro Fitness has a membership drive going on now through December 31st. Join Metro and bring in one new member that joins for a year and receive $100 in cash. Yes, you heard me correctly. A year too long? Sign up for 3 months and bring a friend to join for 3 months and you receive $50. No limit to how many people you can bring in. Only at Metro Fitness, metrofitness.com.
You know, one of the most important things to you would be your family. And at this holiday season,
Weatherman's Son Southside Firestone wishes you the absolute best of the best. Please be careful on the road. Secondly, your vehicle. Don't get caught with a broken down vehicle alongside the road when you're ready to go out there and have a great time this holiday season. Listen, Woodham & Son Southside Firestone can take care of everything from the top of the roof all the way down to under the tires and everything in between, whether it's an oil change, whether you need to get the transmission looked at, if it needs some fluid, or whether you need the tires rotated or even brand new tires. You need to go see Woodham & Son Southside Firestone. I've been using them for 40 years. They are outstanding. And if you don't believe me, just check them out on Facebook and you'll see all the great reviews. Woodham & Son Southside Firestone wishes you a happy holiday season. They're located about a half mile south of the Southern Bypass on the Troy Highway.
Mr. Sandman. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. I know I said my mailbox location would close December 10th, but I am going to have a two-day leftover sale this Friday and Saturday. I will be there both days to sell off as much as I can before we start moving out Monday. There are still a lot of nice mattresses and beds, as well as odds and ends. My Montgomery locations are having an end-of-year clearance sale. I have a bunch of excess inventory to liquidate, including latex, memory foam, and hybrid mattresses. We just received a few full-size adjustable bases with head and foot adjustments selling for only $3.99, twin longs for only $2.99, and some queen for only $4.49. We have a large selection of twin long mattresses on closeout, and we have split king sheets on sale, as well as some really nice pillows. A new pillow makes a really appreciated present, but a new mattress can be life-changing. We have the area's largest selection of mattresses, always discounted. Come see us Monday through Saturday in Montgomery on the Atlanta Highway, and two final sale days in Millbrook, Friday and Saturday. Mr. Sandman, Mattress Superstores.
Came down. We're listening to a video up explaining about, listen, and we talked about this before on this program. I ran across a good friend of mine, Brian, who's genius about World War II stuff, and he agrees with me, and it's not my idea. I read this somewhere that the British created Nazi Germany. There's a day in, I think it's 1919, I forget the exact year, that Hitler disappeared for a month. They can't account for. He was in Britain. It is believed that the British funded and started, along with the Americans, Nazi Germany as to be a buffer state to prevent what happened in Russia from happening in Britain. As you recall, in Russia, the royal family, the communists took over, the royal family was herded together and killed. All except supposedly Anastasia, but that's a whole other story. The British did not want that happening to them, so they wanted to create a socialist Nazi Germany as a buffer so the communists wouldn't come and kill the royal family. That's what I've read. It makes a lot of sense, particularly if you consider the fact that Hitler was a cousin to the royals. I don't know if that's true or not. I've read that. But anyway, look at the help that the Nazis had to get going.
You mean the British Wars, right?
Yeah, what is
yeah, it is. Yeah. Yes, it's the British Wars that he was related to.
That's what I've heard, too. And he spent a month over there getting his marching orders, how to set everything up. And we know that Prescott Bush, purportedly the grandfather of W., the father of George Herbert Walker, Nazi sheriff, pedophile Bush, he started Union Bank. He was actually charged with aiding and abetting the enemy after World War II. They seized all his assets. And, of course, quietly they gave him his money back and popped him on the head and said, don't do it again, and he never went to prison. Imagine that. But let's continue.
I think this is one of the reasons why Hitler's escape to Argentina and all the top Nazis was kept a secret, because there was a vested interest post-World War II?
Completely vested interest. I think that we have Alan Dulles to thank in great part for this. Head of OSS, CIA post-war, but also OSS station chief in Switzerland during the war. And we have information that Dulles had contacts with many high-level Nazis, including Bormann, throughout the end period of the war. They were negotiating all over the place. Now, interestingly enough, Dulles had been a corporate lawyer with his brother, John Foster Dulles, in Germany before the war had happened. He knew Martin Bormann. I'm not sure if he'd met Hitler, but he knew Bormann and he knew most of the people within the Chancellery, within the senior levels of the party. his contacts weren't the only ones. I mean, you go on with book two, deals with John J. McCloy a great deal. McCloy in 1950 was running West Germany for the American government, and he freed all the industrialists who'd been put away at Nuremberg. By 1952, there were no Nazis left in jail, effectively. None of the big Nazis. One of the major Nazi industrialists said at Nuremberg, I don't care what you do, we've got so many friends in Washington, we'll be out soon. And they were. It's all about making money. It's one of the sickest parts of the untold story of World War II. And that collusion, that interlinking between American big business and aspects of the intelligence community enabled Hitler and Bormann and much of their wealth to leave. They knew where the bodies were buried. If they'd come out and named the Americans who were involved in this, I don't think that America, as a democratic nation, would have put up with it.
When we come back, the re-employment of thousands of ex-Nazi officers.
Post-war, Germany was run by people who had gone home, taken off their SS uniforms or their Nazi Party uniforms, had put on their Hugo Boss suits, and had gone back to work.
In July 1945, I was the housekeeper at the Estancia San Ramon. The whole house had been busy for days. Guests had already arrived from Cordoba and Buenos Aires, and we'd been told to expect more. The ranch was German-owned and had been the first settlement in the area. I'd worked there for about 10 years after my husband passed away. My sister also worked there. We had one of the only radios in the area capable of picking up news from Europe. The only railway line from the coast came into the property. Bariloche, our nearest town, was about 25 kilometers away. The road was awful, but we were pretty self-sufficient on the ranch. I wasn't surprised when I heard the Hitlers were coming. No one thought much about it. Anyway, no one here believed the stories that he'd killed himself. The San Ramon Estancia belonged to the Prince of Schaumburg-Lippe, a Nazi sympathizer based in Argentina, part of the family of Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, who was himself an SS officer. Bernhard was often in Bariloche after the war.
The last 12 months had taken its toll on his body, if not his spirit. Without the penicillin we got from Dulles, that bloody Stauffenberg bomb would have finished him off. No one knew just how many festering splinters had come out of the table, or how close he'd been to death. But here, enjoying his favorite foods and safe with family and friends, his health was improving.
We're back with investigative journalist and author, Mr. Gerard Williams, who's uncovered one of the most amazing stories in living memory, Adolf Hitler escaping from the bunker and fleeing to Argentina after the Second World War. Now, Gerard, one of the main things that struck me about this story was the almost this complete veil of secrecy at the time that was allowed to happen. Now, I know the Holocaust, the revelations of the Holocaust, they didn't come out until a few years after the Second World War. Do you think this was one of the keys, because it would have been incredibly embarrassing to have revealed Hitler's location, because the FBI knew about this. You've supplied us with a number of FBI documents with J. Edgar Hoover's signature on it, about Casino. We've got radiograms. We've got the Eichhorn's letters as well. Walk us through some of these documents.
I think The documents that we've been able to access are the tip of the iceberg, that there are many, many other documents there that have been stamped for a further 50 years, that the secrecy about this will continue on. It's interesting that Hoover didn't believe Hitler was dead, and he still had people looking for him, and he took every report seriously. And amongst those, something like 900 heavily redacted, which just means people have put their heavy liner through a lot of the information. Amongst the 900 reports that were issued, you get, I saw Hitler on a train in Chicago. And, you know, Hitler actually owns the farm next to me in Arizona. Well, they're silly. And they go along there with the Elvis sightings. But the documents that we've concentrated on in the book, these aren't the only evidence trail. The evidence trail is also from the witnesses, the eyewitnesses, the other information from reporters at the time. I think that not many people knew that Hitler had escaped and that Bormann had escaped. Trevor Roper, whose masterful work, The Last Days of Adolf Hitler, has become the accepted history. Trevor Roper was a medieval historian. Why did we put somebody like that in to do the detective work on the biggest death of the 20th century? I don't know. But there's a lot of information. The FBI reports, there's a CIA report that has been released. Can't get anything out of the British archives. I mean, everything is stamped for a further 50 years. I think that if the general public had known, remember Hitler was demonized throughout World War II by our own propaganda. Demonized for good reason. I mean, this man is an evil, horrible human being, but he's a swine. As are his senior cabinet members, and as are the people running the death camps in the East. People would have wondered what they'd fought the war for if they'd known that Hitler and Martin Bormann had escaped. And they'd been told that they'd fought the war to destroy this threat of fascism, this threat of Nazi Germany, this threat of, well, anti-Semitism in some ways, although we only knew about the real extent of the Holocaust, as you say. It's a story that's not even talked about much until 1958, 1948, 1949. And yet there are those pictures of American troops and British troops entering camps in early 1945 and then after the fall. The one thing that probably nailed any possibility that Nazi Germany could ever rise again, and I use the phrase Nazi Germany deliberately here, is that the swastika and the black boots and the red and black and the other symbolism that went along with that immensely powerful brand. I mean, we are talking an immensely powerful brand. That symbolism will forever be linked to the foul crimes these basically criminal gang of murdering thieves did in Europe, especially within Eastern Europe. So it could never come back. You could never have, I mean, nobody in their right mind, thank God neo-Nazis now who use the swastika as their symbol, right at the fringes of any political life anywhere in the world. It can't never come back. It's disgusting. It's a damaged brand forever. If people had known that the men behind that brand,